Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Season 3 of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and we've got a great show to start off the season. We're talking to David Marks, president and founder of the Geese Police. The Geese Police is an organization that's been around for 25 years. They train border collies to herd Canadian geese off of clients' property. No need to worry about the safety of the Geese Police and their methods are approved by the Humane Society and PETA. David Marks has been doing what he's been doing for over 25 years and is known and respected in the industry as an expert on the proper use of border collies and Canada goose control. I heard about the Geese Police from my husband when he was a student at the New York Botanical Gardens and saw them a few times. He was impressed at how professional the team was and how effective the dogs were. That was enough information for me. I'm glad to have Dave on the show today to talk more about the Geese Police and what they do. Hey, Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for coming on. I've been trying to get you guys on for like 6 months. I'm so excited you're here, and I'm psyched to start off the season with you.
Great.
So, number one question, how did you ever think this up?
Well, my formal education when I was 20, 21 years old was agronomy and turf science. I was a golf course superintendent. But it wouldn't matter what my title was. My job every day entailed the snow shovel and goose droppings, so it wouldn't smear across the greens.
Ugh. So how did the Geese Police get started then?
So during my frustration, I worked for a private country club, mm-hmm. and it basically came down to get rid of Dave or get rid of the geese. members were complaining. And we tried everything, the sprays, pyrotechnics, flags, fences, strings, you name it, we threw it at them. And everything worked for a little while, and nothing lasted more than a few weeks. Geese are very habitual, and they get used to anything you throw at them. But as a kid growing up, I used to work on this cattle farm, and it was this black and white dog. I can still tell you, I was 11 years old, the dog's name was Chip.
Oh.
So, before I fixed the fence or painted the fence in a paddock area, the guy would come out, the farm manager would come out with this black and white dog, and he would move these 2,000-pound bulls and cows out of the way so I could work in that area.
Wow.
So during, you know, jump it 10 years later, and I always thought that Chip was just a mutt. Mm-hmm. I had no idea it was a breed of dog. I was in a bookstore one day. My brother was looking for a book. I was standing idle, flipped open a book. It happened to be a book of dogs, and I'm like, Border Collie, that is that dog, Chip.
How funny.
Border Collie, that's a breed of dog. If he could move a 2,000-pound cow, he certainly could move a 14-pound goose. And that's where it all began, and it hit me like lightning. I got my first Border Collie, and I've never seen anything work like it since, and it was just unbelievable. After I had my dog about 6 or 8 weeks, I didn't have any geese on my golf course whatsoever.
Wow. Wow. Oh, my God. You must have been so psyched.
Oh, I was absolutely thrilled. There were the members.
That's really,
that's when
really
the trouble began.
Yeah, exactly. Now look how busy you are, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. So have you tried other breeds besides Border Collies, or are they really the ones to do this?
Only Border Collies. Prior to me, when I said I tried sprays, pyrotechnics, I tried various other breeds of dogs. I tried Old English Sheepdog, I tried Irish Setter, a Lab. But the problem is that only Border Collies work because any dog could chase geese, or you and I could run out across a fairway or a field and get geese to fly away. A boxer or a poodle could do that. But they soon count you just as a nuisance, so they'll just come right back. Border Collies, when they're working, what separates them from all the other dogs, unlike a Lab or an Irish Setter that needs the gratification of grabbing and bringing a goose back to you, because their chase behavior is based on retrieving, so
okay.
If they don't have the gratification of grabbing a duck or a goose and bringing it back to you, a couple weeks of you sending them out, and if you have a well-behaved Lab or Irish Setter or bird dog, if they don't have the gratification of bringing it back to you, their chase behavior will decline.
Oh, wow.
Because that's what it's driven on.
Mm-hmm.
A border collie, like every other herding technique dog, their chase behavior is based on gathering. Their instinct is to gather, 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 and bring it to me, not grab it or touch it. They only want to influence it and bring it towards me.
Mm.
And then what separates border collies from all the herding technique dogs is that border collies are the only dogs that use a wolf-like glance called the eye that they use to influence stock or herd into flight or movement. So other herding technique dogs have to get up pretty close, pushy, barking, maybe even a nip or two, where mm-hmm. border collies do not, you know, a trained border collie doesn't do that. An untrained border collie who quick as grab a goose is look at it.
Yeah.
But all our dogs that we train on sheep and cattle, and then move them to Indian runner ducks, and then we move them on to geese. And so when my dogs are coming in, their heads down, their tails shot between their legs, they're stalking.
Mm-hmm.
So in their geese minds, they think they're going to be eaten, however, they're totally safe. Because even if a goose or a gosling or an injured goose couldn't fly for any reason, the mm-hmm. worst thing my dog would do would start herding it back to my feet. And if we see a bird that can't fly or that is injured, we just call the dog right back off, and we're on our merry way.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take you to train the dogs to do this?
Well, we don't start training until they're about 12 or 14 months old.
Nice.
I say not train. I mean, they know to come when they're called. They know to stay down off of you. They know their name. But they're not put under any stock pressure. If you take a young herding dog and you put them on sheep, goats, or even a duck or a goose, and as a young dog they get chased off by an ornery sheep or goose, you might not ever get them on a hook again.
That's a good point.
So the dogs have to be mentally old enough to handle that stock pressure before we start training.
Mm-hmm.
So we really don't start stock training them until they're about 12 or 14 months old, and it takes about 14 or 16 months of training before they go out on the road and do what we do.
Wow.
Now, we use them for a lot of other stuff. We do sheep trials. We have stock in the yard. I mean, they're working all the time. They're just where we work every day out in golf courses, corporate properties, parks, playgrounds, cemeteries. There's roadways. There's, you know, parking lots. Those dogs cannot freelance. They can't just look up, see geese, and decide, oh, let me go get them for you.
Right.
They have to be only doing what exactly we're telling them to do. The dogs we train are trained on voice and whistles. They'll take whistle commands from mile and a half away. They're trained to go clockwise, counterclockwise, speed up, slow down, get on the geese, get off the geese, get in the water, don't get in the water.
Wow.
So they really do not freelance. They're just about remote control.
It's amazing. I mean, border collies are so smart compared to most other breeds of dog. You know, I always
they
feel...
They are the smartest.
I agree with you, hands down. I mean, they're amazing.
Hands down, they're the smartest, yep.
I had a friend who had one in the 80s and who was trained by a very, very famous animal trainer, and this dog could do anything. I mean, he could answer the phone practically, and it was on a horse farm, and it was funny because the dog, she knew she wasn't supposed to chase the horses, you know, and she'd sit and she'd watch these horses go by, and once in a while that instinct would kick in, and she'd just take off like a shot, you know, and it was just like, totally. I felt so bad for her, you know, it was like, can't you guys just let her chase something down? But my question for you about border collies is, I'd really love to hear your opinion on them as a pet. Do you think this is a good dog to have, like, in a suburban environment or a city or, like, you know, with a family?
Now, you might get some callers or get some bad email, but my opinion, and especially the dogs that I work with every day, border collies make lousy pets.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is they're a highly intelligent work-and-breed dog, and if you give them nothing to do, they will find something.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, you are not going to like what it is they come up with. So as long as you mentally and physically exercise, and I know there's people when you turn on the TV, you're flipping through the channels and you'll see like agility or frisbee.
Right.
You'll see Jack Russells and Labs and all kinds of dogs entering a competition. The minute a border collie hits that field, competition's over.
It's true.
They are so smart. They're so intense. So if you have, like, it's not like you could just go to work all day, leave them there 8-10 hours a day, and think that your house is going to be safe while you're gone. It's not going to happen.
It's the truth.
Very few and far between. most of the breeding, like we breed for brawns and brains,
mm-hmm.
those dogs cannot sit idle. The only time I really have behavioral problems with my dogs is if they're injured and they have to sit out of work for a couple weeks, they are a nuisance.
Yeah.
That's how I got into this business, was I originally bought my first dog to take care of the goose problem on my golf course.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. That dog listened to everything I said. The geese were gone. I'm a hero. Now I have no geese.
Oh, no.
But I still had this highly intelligent working dog who about drove me nuts. Most people just would have got rid of the dog. When I tell you, one day she was just being an exceptional pain. She was chasing squirrels. She was chasing club covers, grabbing tea towels.
Oh,
she was
no.
just a menace. I mean, everything. She had nothing to do, bored out of her mind.
Yeah.
I was coming up towards my office, and as I'm passing the 16th green, I saw a leaking sprinkler head. Because she was being such a pain in the neck, I put her in my office. I locked her in there. I was not gone for 20 minutes. When I came back, when I tell you, she ate three sets of computer cables, the garbage can, my desk, the
oh my
chair.
God.
And when I opened the door, she looked at me like, I'm not supposed to do that? What's the problem? So I knew she was a great dog. She just needed something to do.
Totally.
So that's how Geese Police started, was I started going to neighboring golf courses and parks and said, listen, I bought the dog for this reason. Would there be any reason why I couldn't come and herd your geese off of your course,
yeah.
this park, this property? And before you knew it, my dog part-time was making more money than I was.
Score! So, okay.
And all it was just trying to keep the dog. I mean, I loved her to death. She was just a menace.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
when she was busy, she was perfect.
Exactly. And so for people that don't know about Border Collies, when you're saying that they need some exercise, what are you talking? I mean, a walk around the block is obviously not enough for this dog.
Well, a walk around a block, or people say I have a big yard. The big thing with Border Collies is it's not just physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I had a 250-acre golf course, and I would, instead of having Tack, that was my first dog. Her
mm-hmm.
name was Tack, T-A-C. And instead of, you know, we had no geese, she had nothing to do, and I figured I could tire her out by making her heel to me while I drove the golf cart around the golf course. It didn't matter. They need mental and physical exercise, like not just fetching a ball or fetching a frisbee,
mm-hmm.
but also telling them not to until you tell them to, and they got to think about it. So it has to be physical and mental exercise daily. You do not want them bored.
Yeah.
Because they pick up all kinds of neurotic behaviors, which is one of the reasons why I don't use rescue dogs. And you see them in rescue all the time, and the most times the complaint, if you see a Border Collie in the rescue program,
mm-hmm.
it's because they bit a kid or they bit somebody. They
yeah.
didn't bite them. They nipped them.
Yeah.
They still can break skin, don't get me wrong, but it's not like a pit bull or a Rottweiler grabbing on and hanging
totally.
On and
totally.
Chewing you. What happens is, if there's little kids or there's movement around, and, kids are running around in a circle, the first thing the dog's going to try to do is use the wolf-like glands called the eye to influence their movement.
Yep.
And when that doesn't work, they come in and they nip. And most 90% of the time, the nip's going to be from behind the knee to your ankle
because mm-hmm.
they're just trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
However, while they're doing that, yes, they can break skin. They'll bite right through your jeans. It could be bad.
Yeah.
One of the largest killers of young Border Collies are moving objects such as cars. They try to get in front of them and control their movement, and of course the Border Collie will lose every time when
yeah.
it comes to a vehicle. So they, and that's instinct. That's bred into them.
Yeah. And that's the thing that people don't understand is, if an animal is bred to do a certain thing, if you take that behavior away from it, it doesn't know what to do. It's job. So it's kind of like, if you were an accountant your entire life and all you knew was accounting and somebody walked up one day and said, you are no longer an accountant. You are now a historian. I mean, you'd be so screwed. It'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing, And I don't think people just don't understand. I mean, it's something like 90% of people, when they buy a dog, they buy it just on sight. They go to the store, which kills me already, the pet shops, and, oh, he's cute, And it's like there's so much more involved in this, and I really appreciate your candor talking about Border Collies because they are brilliant, but they are complicated dogs. These are not, this isn't Benji, This is Benji with a PhD.
They absolutely are complicated. And when people see me open my tailgate, let a dog out, and then watch how that dog works for me, the first thing they say is, "Oh my God, I have a dog. I got to get a dog like that."
Totally.
No, you don't. And sometimes, like, if people like the looks of a border collie and most of the temperament, I usually would recommend, if you're going to get a pet, then maybe an Australian Shepherd,
mm-hmm.
an Aussie, because they have working tendencies, not as intense. And if you have a little bit of work for them and can make them a pet, they sit idle a whole lot better than any border collie. So
wow.
I always tell people, you don't want one of these as just a pet.
I had no idea.
I mean, I have trouble even when my dogs get old, when it's time to retire them.
Yeah.
They actually have to tell you, because if you retire them too young, they will drive you nuts.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Well, Dave, we need to take a break for station identification, but we'll be back in just a minute to continue this conversation about the Geese Police. So just hang on, please.
You're listening to EULA, Dirty Hens.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And we are back. We are talking to David Marks of the Geese Police. Dave, what specific problems do Canadian geese bring with them? Because I think a lot of people just think they're really pretty and so special and all that.
Well, probably the biggest complaint we get about geese, less spring, is the amount of droppings. Each goose is about a pound and a half of droppings per goose per day.
Wow.
So if you have 100 geese, it's 150 pounds of droppings throughout the parking lot, park, playground, cemetery, whatever. So that's probably the biggest complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in the spring, you get a bigger complaint where when they're protecting the nest, eggs, or goslings, the geese can become very aggressive.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens if you wind up doing an area and there are goslings there? Like, what happens then?
Well, one, we try to get in there. The key most important time is to have an effective goose control program in effect prior to spring, prior to them pairing up and nesting on your property. Because geese have what's called imprinting. Once they breed on your property, they're going to return to breed, and their young will return to breed thereafter.
Wow.
So what was cute maybe 8 or 9 years ago, look at that, isn't that nice? A nice family of geese and goslings. And now, next thing you know, you have 150 geese on your property.
Oh, man.
And they're overgrazing, Their drop-ins are very high in nitrate, so if you have a lake or a pond, it increases the nitrate levels, which increases the plant growth, which decreases the oxygen level and increases fish kill, and you end up with a big, dead, stagnant lake.
Wow. But
the overgrazing of the grass in and around the ponds and lakes causes a lot of erosion control problems.
Wow.
So, you know, it compounds, realistically, I mean, you could have control without elimination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing. You know, you just want it to be a manageable number. You can't have 100 geese on a playground. You wouldn't want your kids sliding into third base with a bunch of goose droppings there. But, you know, if there was a couple geese in a park, that's not a concern or a big deal.
Right.
It's when they're mass numbers, and that's the biggest problem.
I can only imagine. Weren't you guys at one of the airports in New York a couple of years ago?
Where?
Weren't you at, like, LaGuardia Airport or Kennedy Airport a couple of years ago to help with their geese problem? Was that you guys?
I sit on the Bird Strike Committee USA.
Mm-hmm.
I do not do any airports because I don't care how much insurance I would have. You could never cover it. We do stuff like Central Park, Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But I veer from the airports mostly for liabilities because if I was there 23 and a half hours a day, it only takes... See, planes, those jet engines are only designed to take an 8-pound hit.
Mm.
The average goose is 14 pounds. Just like, in the Hudson, they hit a couple geese on the way out. And it wasn't even at the airport. It was 2 miles out they hit those geese.
Wow.
And, Sully landed that plane in the Hudson River.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank God he was driving or flying that plane. But one bird can take out or take down a plane. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. That's scary.
So it's very scary. And that's why I hate to fly. That would be, you know, the biggest irony.
The owner, founder
of Geese Police is taking out my goose.
The geese heard about the flight, and they're really pissed, and they're coming to get you.
They are. My other fear is that I'll be at a cemetery with a big pile of goose crap on my head. Because they visit a lot of cemeteries, too. We do a ton of cemeteries.
Yeah, they do. My family members up in Beechwood and New Rochelle, and they're there all the time. You need to call them.
You
got
to tiptoe around and go see your loved ones. Yeah, that's my biggest fear. I'm either going to have a big pile of trappings on me, or one's going to take me out on a plane.
Yeah, thanks. I got a flight in 2 weeks. So I'll now be really strung out about that.
Yeah, we won't even talk about that. Then.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
You got to fly with me one day. Oh my goodness.
So,
especially because, like, you know, once a year I go out and, like I said, I sit on the Bird Strike Committee USA, which is now combined with Bird Strike Canada.
Wow.
So we go out like 3 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not just geese either. You know, there's other birds that hit planes and other animals that planes strike. So it's just bird strikes in general. But when you know, I got to go out and look at these slides for 3 days, and then I got to get out on a plane and fly home.
Oh, God. It's like, you know, and they can play like, you know, Airport 76 on the plane for you or something fun like that as well. That's crazy. So, your dogs, do you treat them more like working dogs, or are they like pets when they're off duty? Like, do they live with you?
They do live with me, but we have a farm. They are working dogs. They're not, I wouldn't say we treat them as pets. They're not on my sofa. They don't jump in bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
My dogs, I keep them in the weather conditions in which they're expected to work.
Right.
Like, I don't let them get below 35 degrees in their building. They have their own building. They come in at night and go to sleep.
Nice.
But we don't jack the heat up so high where they blow their winter coat.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, we don't give them a whole lot of air conditioning. We have misting fans and fans blown on them. We keep them wet and keep fans blowing on them, and we keep it comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep your dog in the house in air conditioning or in the house with heat, they won't put on a proper winter coat, or they won't blow their summer coat as well. If you don't acclimate them to the weather conditions in which you expect them to work. You know, even, especially in the heat and the humidity, like last week, it was ridiculous here in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's like running around with a sweater. I'm sweating standing still. You can't imagine what that dog's going through running with fur on.
Totally.
So you do. You always have to be careful, but you always. So where we say they're not pets, they're not in the house. Some of these dogs have. It's so funny because, you know, we buy the dogs throughout the country, and we'll buy these dogs from, you know, these farms that are 900 acres, 500 acres. They've never walked on a tile floor or saw a ceiling fan or ever come upstairs before. All they know is grass, dirt, and stock. And it really is funny because when you get a new dog, it's like looking at the world with a brand new set of eyes.
How wild. But what a great life for these dogs to just live on a farm and be able to do what dogs do. And, you know, I love what you do. I think it's really great because you give these dogs an opportunity to do what they do. And they're doing a great job so that they get the feeling that they're doing something good, which is so important with these dogs, you know. And you're doing an incredibly amazing service. And nobody's getting hurt, which I think is really cool.
That's the best. And anytime you see a dog doing the job it was born and bred to do, it's like poetry in motion.
And
it's so easy to train them at that because that's what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we give them.
So how long does it take you to train the handlers?
Well, the handlers, that's a whole nother, story. Well, the minimum is probably they're in the truck with another experienced handler about 14 to 21 days.
Cool.
And the biggest thing is, because my dog safety is the most important, and if that dog don't respond, then I'm pretty good at picking dogs just like people. They all have different personalities.
Yeah.
They could look exactly the same, but and it's the exact same breed, and they all have little quirks, and they all have their little things. And just like people, sometimes their personalities clash, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at matching people and the dog's personality, and I've had a knack for that, and it usually works out pretty good. And I also have a knack for saying, yeah, you two just ain't going to ever get along, forget it. You know, it has to be a different dog. You're never going to get along with that dog.
Yeah, but that's awesome. If not, you're just totally wasting your time. You know what I mean? It's so much easier just to solve the problem and then be like, no, you're getting this dog, and I just have a nightmare the whole time.
Yep, just change dogs.
So, do you have a favorite story about being president and founder of the Geese Police?
Well, I don't know if there's favorites, but I have many. I told you my original dog, Tack, when I said they make lousy pets.
Yep.
When I first got Tack, you know, I was employed at a golf course. And I lived on the golf course, across the golf course. So what I used to drive back and forth from my shop to my house was a golf cart every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the particular day, it was rainy, miserable, nasty. I'm like, I'm not driving across the course. I'll jump in my truck and go out on the road, and it's so lousy out. I think I'll leave Tack home today.
Mm.
So I left her in the house. I left. She heard my truck start. I got to my office, and she was already at my office door.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, well, how did she get here? She went right through the window.
Oh, no.
And that's what I'm trying to say is, like, they are not good. She heard me leaving and saying, oh, you ain't leaving me home.
Yeah,
she
seriously.
Beat me to work.
That's awesome.
I had to go drive out on the street and come back into my office, and she just went right through, cut across the golf course. She was there, not a scratch on her. Of course, the window was blown out right next to the back door of the house. You know, many times when my third dog, Cap, was probably the dog that put us on the map. He was the most talented dog, and I'm just blessed to ever even own a dog like him.
Mm.
He was a three-year nursery sheep trial champion. There's only four dogs in the country who's ever done that.
Wow.
And I owned him.
Cool.
And it used to be to the point where I said, you know what? You know why we're so good together? Is because I know everything he's thinking.
Nice.
And we never really meshed until I finally realized it wasn't that I knew what he was thinking. He knew what I was going to tell him. He knew what I was thinking.
Wow.
And that's when we just hit it, clicked. And once I came to the realization that that dog knows what I'm thinking, not the other way around. And the same as you would use your right hand to lift a cup or thread a needle or pick up anything,
mm-hmm.
I could put that dog anywhere I wanted, and he knew where I wanted him to be.
God, that's amazing.
it was absolutely amazing.
I want to come out and see you guys work one day. I am so fascinated. I mean, my husband saw you.
You're going to have to do that.
I want to, if you'll let me.
You won't believe it.
Hey, if you let me, man, I'll be there. I would love to. I mean, Dan saw you guys at the Botanical Gardens in the Bronx and came home and was like, oh, my God, you've got to see this. These dogs are unbelievable. And it was like, huh. You know, and then I started researching, you know, I was like, this is so cool. And your videos are great on YouTube. I mean, there's so much information about the dogs available, which I love as well. You're not hiding anything. There's nothing to hide. And that's awesome.
Nothing to hide. And there is some videos up on our website. I mean, you could see it, but you have to really see it live. And just like your husband came home and said, you got to see this guy, that happens every single day. And that's the most fun of what we do every single day, just watching people's jaw drop.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be so cool. You know, it's like I have a friend who has an Australian sheepdog, and it was really funny. She's got a five-year-old kid, and she decided to have a party for the kid. And so they were all inside in a room, and, you know, they're all 5 years old, so they're screaming and yelling and all this. And all of a sudden, it got really quiet, and she was like, oh, God, and runs in the room. And their dog had just gotten fed up with all the kids and herded them all into a corner and just made them all shut up. And it was like, this dog is a
genius.
Just
going to try to control the movement and running around going, look, I got to control this.
It was
awesome. That's exactly what they do.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
So what's the most rewarding part of your work?
Probably, you know, sad but true, we get to see a whole ton of stuff. One, we work in the great outdoors. I say the great outdoors because when that weather's beautiful and you're stuck in that radio studio and you wish you were outside, that is my office. But we're also out there in the wind, the rain, the snow, and the heat, and the bugs, and all that. Probably the most rewarding, and here's the biggest problem I have. People get frustrated. When you have a park or your yard or you live on the water, and sometimes I joke about it saying, well, why live on the water if you're going to complain about waterfowl? It's like living in the woods and complaining about the leaves.
Totally.
But people get frustrated, so they do stupid things. Mm-hmm. And you will see geese being injured or ran over or almost killed, or every year you see on the news an arrow shot through one of the geese's neck. And then it's on the news and they caught it and surgically removed it. What I like, the most rewarding part for me is to take a problem that people are so frustrated with, and I don't want to say rightfully so that they're frustrated, and I understand their frustration, but I could never see how somebody comes to the point where they're going to harm or injure or maim an animal.
Yeah.
And I could take that major problem and I can bring it down to it's not a problem anymore.
And like magic, you know, on top of it.
It is, and it's fun doing it. I still, to this day, I'd rather just work the dogs every day. If that's all I had to do and I had to deal with all the office and the insurance and all the other BS that you have to do, paperwork. If I could just be outside training dogs and working dogs all day, I would be in my glory.
that sounds so fantastic. Oh, my God, I love it.
Imagine that you get paid to go outside and play with your dog.
That works for me. If you're looking, let me know.
It always, to this day, they still amaze me, you know, what you can teach them to do and how far you can get them to do it. And it's just amazing.
And that bond, too, between human and animal is just, there's nothing like it. There's really nothing like it.
I spend more time with my dog than I do with anybody, any person, that's for sure.
So what happens if you get a dog that comes in that's just, like, not going to work?
Well, there is dogs that don't work. And I told you earlier in the interview that not every Border Collie is slated for goose control work.
Yeah.
An untrained Border Collie will quickest kill a goose's look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is I probably go through maybe 20 dogs a year, and about maybe 12 or 14 will make it through the program. Some dogs just love to bite.
Yeah.
Does not mean it's a lousy dog or a bad dog. It just means he needs larger stock.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 2,000-pound bull or cow is not impressed by that wolf-like glance.
Yeah.
So the dogs literally go in and nip him. It's called a head or a heel. They nip him in the soft spot in the nose or in the back in the heel.
Mm-hmm.
And if the dog comes and nips a cow or bull four or five times, the bull finally realizes if I get moving, he'd stop swinging on my nose.
Yeah.
And then the dog can start moving the whole herd and blah, blah, blah. So just because we get a dog that just loves to bite, they absolutely are, cannot work on geese fillets. We just find them larger stock. We find another industry, cattle, goats, sheep. You just find different work for them.
Yep.
Some border collies are not natural swimmers. Either they love it or they hate it. So if they don't like to swim, they're not going to be very effective for goose control. So we find them different work. And whether that be a sheep farm or goat, or they're doing sheep trials, or they're going to go do cattle trials, or you move along and someone has a farm that's got to move some stock around. So we do come across dogs that never, ever get stamped and work for geese police.
Fair enough.
Yep.
And that's great, too, because then you're really choosing the cream of the crop, so to speak. You know, you're getting the ones that should be doing this, and the ones that aren't happy, you're giving them a new life where they can be. So, Dave, I think you're awesome. I really, really do.
I appreciate it.
I love it. I just love it. And I just, there's so much about what you do that I just think is so cool, and especially just you're not hurting these geese. You're not killing these geese. You're just annoying them, so they're like, let's get out of here and go somewhere else, you know?
We just keep them moving along, and by my dogs visiting a property 3 or 4 times a day, 7 days a week, the geese count them as natural predators. See, they're not counting my dog as a nuisance. They're counting them as a wolf, a coyote, an Arctic fox. Every day we're out there, we're playing with hundreds of thousands of years of predatory prey instinct. We make your property an unsafe haven. They're going to go someplace else where they're not bothered. And what you're hoping is that you break them up in numbers and you're breaking them up to or putting them in places where they're not coming in conflict with people. And there's plenty of places for them to go that they're not going to be in conflict.
Totally. Well, Dave, unfortunately, we are out of time. However, I would love it if you could give some contact info for our listeners so they can find you if they need you.
We are geesepoliceinc.com. And our main office is in Howell, New Jersey. We have 16 offices in 13 states. And anytime you want to come out here and come see how the training goes, and we'll take you out on the road, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'm going to harass your office. I'm going to call you guys and figure out my schedule because this is something I really, really would love to do. So thank you so much. And thanks for such a great interview. This was awesome. I'm so excited to start the season with you. Yay.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, my God. Thank you, David. So thanks to Dave Mark, the Geese Police. I'd let you guys know Animal Instinct now has a Facebook page. So like it to keep up to date on show topics, other fun animal stuff, and a big thank you to Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.